Hey, hello. My name is Beverly Cook, and I'm an alcoholic. And just so you know, I am about as nervous as a working woman in a house of worship. Okay. What it was like, what happened, what we're like now. It wasn't really nice at all. I am the youngest of seven kids, and I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, in the projects. And I did not know that that was not a place to be from until I moved away. I was raised with Alcoholics Anonymous, and I never believed that I would become one. Because what I knew about Alcoholics Anonymous was, if you came to Alcoholics Anonymous, you never drank again as long as you lived. And if you did drink again, you died. And it was for really old people. Because that's all that was around my house, was old people. Now, some of the ladies that used to come to the house were colorful, colorful ladies. I didn't hear any of their pain in any of the stories. I heard the fun. These were old women who used to talk about running around with the big swing bands. Now, I didn't know what they did with the big swing band members, but I know that they had a lot of fun because they used to laugh. So we moved. I got in a lot of trouble when I was going to school. From 6th grade to 12th grade, I got thrown out of every grade at least once. I was a junior in an all-girls Catholic high school. And my aunt came to visit, and she put some wine in the icebox. So I thought I would have some. And I took it to school. And I got caught. And the principal asked me, why did I have this wine at school? And so I said it was for the priest to bless. For last rites for my father, you know, because he was dying. Okay. I truly believe that they would pat my head and say, you poor thing. They didn't. They called my father, who worked at the Central Office of Alcoholics Anonymous. My life went downhill from there. I got in a lot of trouble, and I drank the wine, and it was good. It was good. And I told my father I wasn't going to drink anymore. And he laughed and said, okay. I graduated, didn't know what to do with myself, and so I joined the Navy. Navy's not a good place to go when you don't want to follow orders. They don't like when you question them. They just like you to do. So it didn't work out. So I left the Navy, and I moved in with my brother. He was in the military. He was in the Navy. And I met a man, a little sailor boy. They're cute when they're dressed up. And I met him in a bar. And he said he loved me. What was there not to love? And I loved him. And so we spent a weekend together, you know, make sure it worked out. You gotta be sure when you're gonna marry somebody. And so we got married. And then he went to war. And I didn't know what to do with myself. I truly didn't know what to do with myself. So I met some other women who were married to cute little sailor boys, and we decided that we would help Bob Hope. Bob Hope went overseas to entertain the troops. We thought we would do our entertaining on the base. For the war effort, you see. We were, you know, good at what we did. My. And then the little sailor boys came home and we couldn't do it anymore. And so he drank and I drank. And we got into fights and the shore patrol took him and the police took me. So we decided we should leave California. Because it wasn't the drinking now. It was the military. And the friends that I had made while he was gone were proper friends. Okay. So we moved to Philadelphia. I moved to Philadelphia. He moved to Norfolk. And I moved to Philadelphia because that's where his family was from. And he, very nice family. Truly nice people. They didn't drink like I drank. In Philadelphia, I discovered beer distributors. You call them on the phone, they deliver. And I used to have deliveries a lot. And his family would say, don't you think you're drinking too much? He goes, this not for me. Because bless his heart, coming home this weekend. Bless his heart, he was on the USS Never Dock. He wasn't coming home for a long time. But I always lied. I always lied. And I truly believe people believe my lies. They didn't, but I thought they did. So he came up one weekend from Norfolk and said, I'm going to bring you back to Norfolk in about 6 months. And I said, okay. He said, do you think you drink too much? I'm going to stop. And he said, how are you going to do that? Okay. I'm going to help your sister with the brownie troop. Now, I truly believe that God does for me what I can't do for myself, which is why I have no children, okay? It's just something. You know, some people really want them, and God bless them, I think they should have them. That didn't apply to me. But I'm going to quit drinking, so I'm going to help my sister-in-law with the brownie troop. It's difficult to work with children when you don't know what the hell they want. I tried. I went on campouts with them. I drank. They woke me up. They said, look at my projects. I said, here's a badge. Everybody in the brownie troop, they got order badges. I have no idea what they were looking for, but by the time I was done, they had everything in a little book. I mean, they had like a fruit salad on their little brownie thing. My sister-in-law said, could you not drink before the meeting? And I said, yeah, I could. If I could remember when the meetings were, I wouldn't drink. Oh, it was very sad. So, you know, Philadelphia was not a good place to be. So I moved to Norfolk. And he drank and I drank. And shore patrol took him and the police took me. And so we figured it's because we didn't have a house. Because if we were homeowners, then we had to be upstanding citizens. We had to pay the bills. So we went looking for a house. And he found one. And then he went away. So I moved into the house with the power of attorney. And got together with some other women. And kept up the morale of the troops. Kind of our own traveling USO band. The troops were happy for the morale. They enjoyed it. And then he came home and then we couldn't do it anymore. So I'm drinking. I'm working. We got a house. He went off on the USS Never Dock. I'm involved in the little military. I'm trying to be a nice military wife. And had a couple blackouts, didn't pay a lot of attention to them. You just don't tell people about them. Don't talk about nothing that you don't, it might be scary. Unfortunately, I came to in a blackout, and I was traveling the roads of Norfolk. Didn't know where I was. I'm sure I had a good time, though. from the back seat, it looked like I had a really good time. And was lost and was scared, and so I pulled into a 7-Eleven and called the only phone number that I could think of, which was the commanding officer's white phone number. it's not a good thing to do. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And she said, how did you get to where you are? Well, I was at this bar, and they must have slipped something in the drink. I'm not going to go there anymore. She said, call me when you get home. So I called her, and she said, do you have a drinking problem? No. No, no stress, but no drinking problem. She called the next day and said, I have made an appointment for you to see a doctor. And I said, okay. Because when the commanding officer tells you you have to do something and your husband's enlisted, you do that. I went to the doctor. The doctor said, do you have a drinking problem? No, I'm married to a sailor. Not me. He said, have you ever thought about not drinking? No. Mm-mm. Never thought about it. Not thinking about it now either. He said, well, you need to come and see me every week. And I said, okay. He said, do you have alcoholism in the family? Well, yeah. He said, who's an alcoholic in the family? I said, my father, aunt, a couple brothers. But none of us girls. See, girls can't get it. I'm the youngest of seven. If it's passed on, it's got to be gone by the time I came along, okay? Because my parents were older when I came along. So I'm drinking, I'm going to work, and I had a problem one day, and I didn't make the doctor's appointment. And I didn't make the doctor's appointment for a week because I stayed home and drank with the curtains closed. And when the commanding officer's wife came over, she said, I'm going to take you to see this doctor. So I went and saw the doctor, and he said, you need a rest. And I said, yes, I do. I'm so tired. Running the house, working, drinking, taking care of the dogs, trying to mow the lawn so it looks good for the neighbors. I am tired. So he said, okay, you can stay in this program for 30 days. And I said, okay. So they locked me up in the nut hut. But see, in the South, they don't say nut hut. It was a psychiatric institute. Because, you know, in the South, we kind of flower stuff. We don't like to call it what it is. Like the war. It's not over. It's a little lull in it right now, but it's not over. Mm-mm-mm. So they locked me up in a nut hut, and it's two floors. And the crazies are upstairs, and the drunks are downstairs. And we make fun of the drunks. Very sad, but we did. We would see them, because we would go down like for breakfast and lunch, just when they were getting done. And we would make fun of them, because they couldn't eat. Because they'd be doing this. Okay, we're doing the stelazine shuffle and the thorazine stop. We ain't shaking. Okay. We ain't there, but we ain't shaking. And I don't like the nut hut. Because they got some really weird people in the nut hut. People that talk about seeing themselves leaving and rising. And I didn't like it, so I tried to do what they said to do. Now, they brought bless his heart home from wherever he was, and he came and got me, and he said, how long do you think you're going to be there? Not long. Not long. I'm going to take these pills. I'm going to be all right. He said, would you like a drink? Yes, 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 because I've been so good. So we went on a bender, and when I got back to the nut hut, they said, you can't glide anymore. And I said, why? And they said, because you drank. Not my fault. Bless his heart, just came home. Haven't seen him for a long time. We had things to talk about, things to celebrate. My birthday's coming. So I couldn't go out for like 3 weeks. And then bless his heart, Cam, and he said, it's your birthday. You want to go out for dinner? And I said, yeah. And so I went out on a Friday, and I came back to the Nut Hut on Sunday. It's a really good birthday. And then about 11 o'clock at night, the pole lamp started to talk to me. You know, and I had parents. I was raised right. So you can't ignore people when they talk to you. So I talked back. And we were fine. We weren't bothering anybody. And then we heard the music. So we thought we'd dance a little bit. We weren't bothering anybody, okay? And then the nurses came. And they said, what are you doing? Just dancing, listening to the music. I was very sad. They put me in a room, and they gave me a shot, and then they tied me down. And I was there for 3 days. I didn't like that at all. And they said, think you got a drinking problem now? Like, no, now I know why people don't stop drinking. This is what happens to people when they stop drinking. I don't want it. And this doctor said, well, not everybody goes through this. Everybody I knew went through it. So they said, we don't think you belong on this floor anymore. And yeah, they're going to transfer me downstairs. He's like, no, please. So I had to go downstairs with the drunks. And then the people made fun of me because I needed to bring me. Because see, down on the first floor, you don't get the pills. You don't get them. So I went to some classes. And they had an AA meeting. And they said, would you like to go to an AA meeting? So I said, sure. So I was in the cafeteria, and I had on some slippers. And the cafeteria had the floor, the linoleum, and I shuffled my feet. Because I was growing up, my mother used to say, don't shuffle your feet. That way it irritates people. Oh, okay. No, here's a whole group of people I can just irritate the hell out of. So I shuffled in, and they said, we don't drink a day at a time. That's not true. You need to tell the truth to these people. You need to tell them if they join Alcoholics Anonymous, they'll never drink again as long as they live, and if they do, they'll die. And they said, thank you for sharing. And then they got up, see, and then they did the Lord's Prayer. And I took personal offense when they said, keep coming back. I was locked up. Where the hell was I going to go? Because it's all about me. So this man came and talked to me, and he said, do you think you're an alcoholic? No. He said, how do you think you got here? My husband's fault. Why? Does he drink? Yes. Yes. He drinks. He's a sailor. He's gone all the time. I'm alone. And he just looked at me and didn't say anything. He said, when was the last time that you got locked up when you weren't drinking? I don't think it's any of your business. And he said, was there a time that you got locked up when you weren't drinking? Well, come back tomorrow and I'll let you know how to think about it. And he said, if you have to think about it, probably answers no. So he said, do you want to try Alcoholics Anonymous? No. He said, why? Because if you join Alcoholics Anonymous, you can never drink again as long as you live. And this is July. Christmas is coming. I got plans for Christmas. He said, think about it. And I said, okay. He said, I get to go home because I quit drinking. He said, you get to stay here because you are drinking. I thought ugly thoughts about this man for a long time. So I went to another AA meeting, shuffled my feet. I didn't say anything. I just glared at people. Because if you glare at them, then they won't talk to you. And if they don't talk to you, then they won't know how scared you are. And this lady was there, and she wrote her name and her phone number on a meeting schedule and said, call me sometime, we'll talk about our job. Now this lady was put together. Her nylons did not have worms in them. Very important to me. Her clothes matched. Okay? When I was out there, they didn't have to match. They didn't even have to fit. If they were on me, they're mine. Doesn't matter where they come from. And I didn't think I had anything in common with this woman. Nothing. But I polite, you know, because I was raised right. I got parents. Because in the South, if you're not, you know, if you're ugly and hateful to people, they call you an orphan because you must not have been raised right. It's a little southern thing. So I said thank you, and I got out of the nut hut, and bless his heart says, you're not going to drink anymore, right? And I said no. And he said, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'll go to the meeting. So I didn't drink for about 15 days. So I had the answers. And he said, how long do you have to go? And I said, I think you have to go till you do the steps. And he said, are you ready to do them now? I was like, yeah. He said, okay, let's do them. So I said, all right. So I have a big book. So he sat on the chair and I sat on the floor. And we started with step one. And he read it. He said, we admitted we're products of alcohol, the life of manageable. He said, you can't drink anymore. I said, right. He said, okay, now. We're on step two. And he said, you're not locked up, so you can't be insane anymore. Okay, got it. So we're on step three. It's like 10 minutes. So this is good. I'm getting it. And he said, you believe in God, right? Yeah, okay. So on four, he said, you go to confession? I said, yeah. He said, okay, the priest will tell you something? I said, yeah. He said, that's four and five. Okay? Six, if I don't drink, I don't have any defect. You know. We have it. Very sad, very sad. We did eight, nine, ten. He said, nine, he said, duh. You have to make amends to people. I said, yeah. He said, well, we don't live in California anymore. He said, some of those people you probably never find. Okay. He said, and you can make amends to me by not drinking. Okay. So we're right on to 10. And 10 is confession every Saturday. Because you know that's what Catholics do. And 11, I'll pray. And 12, when they come to pick me up, take me to a meeting, I got to be ready to go. Okay. So he closed the book, and I patted myself on the back because I had done the steps. And he went out drinking, and I cleaned out. And went to a meeting once a week and didn't drink. And bless his heart, drank every day. And that went on for a couple months. And then I called this lady one time. Things weren't going too well. And I called and said, you don't remember me, but you gave me your name and your phone and put it on the app. Me and the schedule told me to call you sometime. And she said, how are you doing? Good? I'm good. She said, if you're doing good, you have to call me back because I'm in the middle of dinner and I don't have time to talk. Okay, I'm not doing good at all. She said, the first thing you need to do is be honest. She said, you have to be honest with yourself. Do you know how to do that? Yes. She said, do you? Yes. She said, working the steps? I've done them. And she laughed. And she said, no, I'm serious. So am I. She said, who did you do them with? Bless his heart. She said, when did you do them? Months ago. She said, how far did you get? 12. And she laughed and she said, how many meetings are we very going to? Compared to who? She said, there's a meeting tonight that I may be at. Perhaps you would care to attend. Perhaps I would. So I went. She wasn't there. So I came home, called her up on the phone, said, you weren't there. And she said, I didn't say I would be there. I said, well, you said perhaps. She said, perhaps does not mean will. Okay. She said, going to meet tomorrow night? Smart person that I am. Perhaps. I am quick, okay? I'm quick. She said, perhaps if you'd like to stay sober, you should go. Okay. So I started going to meetings. Bless his heart, he's still drinking. And she says, who's your sponsor? Well, I don't have one. She said, I will be your temporary sponsor for 30 days. She said, at the end of 30 days, she said, you pray for 30 days, I'll pray for 30 days. If it's going to work out, we will know at the end of 30 days. So I said, okay. And during those 30 days, I went to a lot of meetings. And during those 30 days, she said, if you want to stay sober, you have to do stuff. Okay. She said, after the meeting, pick up the ashtrays and wash them. I picked up mine. I didn't see people that couldn't pick up their own ashtray. And she said, you have to lose the ego. I don't have one. She said, it's one of many things that you have that you will lose if you want sobriety. Okay. She said, the next meeting you go to, get women's phone numbers. Because she said, the women will save your behind and the men will sell it. Oh, okay. So I went to, you know, a couple meetings. And she called me on the phone and she said, how you doing on the women's list? Good. And so I read off to her Betty Jo's name, Mary Lou, Mary Ann. Got all done and she said, do you think you could go to a meeting and get real people think? How did she know? I said, how did you know that these aren't real names? And she said, how do you think I know? And I said, because you probably went to sponsor school. Okay? I'm thinking if you need to know something, you go to school to learn. Okay? It's probably a special school for people with 5 years and more. And they got like answers and tests. And she laughed again. She laughed a lot with me. I'm not sure where that was going, but she did. So I did. And she said, we have to do the steps. If you want to stay sober, you have to do the steps. Is that okay? She said, I'm not going to do them for you, but I will walk through them with you. And I said, okay. So we started doing the steps. Bless his heart, he's still drinking. I'm going to meetings. It's not going well at my house. So I went to an Al-Anon meeting. Because Al-Anons know how to live with people who drink and they don't kill them. That's what I know about Al-Anon. So I went to an Al-Anon meeting and there was a lady there that said she had liquor in her icebox and it didn't bother her at all. That's all the proof I needed. I went home, called my sponsor, and said, I have been to an Al-Anon meeting. And Al-Anon said, she has liquor in her icebox and doesn't bother her at all. And Joyce said, is she an alcoholic? Well, you don't want to get personal with the women you don't know. And I didn't ask her. She said, maybe it doesn't bother her because she's not an alcoholic. If you're going to get picky about meetings that I go to, this may not work. And Joy said, there may come a time when you have to make a choice between your sobriety and bless his heart. Okay, I might, but I have been to enough meetings, and I know you don't make any major decisions in the first year. How many times have I heard that? A lot. So I thought maybe Joyce missed it. So I informed her, you know, there's no major decisions for the first year. She said, unless you could lose your sobriety. Okay. So I'm going to meetings. Bless his heart, he's drinking. I'm working. And I come home from work one night, and it was just the last night. And he was laying on the floor drunk. So I just said, well, okay, there's only one way to handle this. I have to shoot him. So I got the gun out. It's a really big gun. Had two triggers, two holes.
Big ass bullet.
And I put him in the gun, and I'm going to shoot him, but see, then I get afraid. What if the gun doesn't go off? What if he comes to as I'm trying to aim this gun? Probably not a good thing. So I put the gun down, and I go to a meeting, and Joyce is there, and she said, how are things? Compared to what? She said, you don't look good. What? I said, well, I think the only way to solve this thing is to shoot him. Oh, she says, no, no, no. That's not the answer. So, oh, that was a bad couple days there. So, he comes to, I come home, and he says, you need to leave. What? You're so moving. I said, oh. Oh, you're drinking. This was fun. Oh, okay. So I immediately called Joyce on the phone and said, God has made an error. Now me, it's not my fault. I said, she's drinking. Well, what am I going to do now? I moved from one to the other. She said, did I not tell you to be careful what you pray for? Okay, God. God did this. God's got to fix it. And she said, go to me. Okay. So, I put Joyce to bed. I go to a meeting. And it occurs to me, because I'm 9 months sober, so, you know, I got some answers. So this would be a sign from God that I am to help the woman. Lila talked about trying to help somebody that didn't want help. It's very difficult. It doesn't stop me from doing it, but it is difficult. So I'm going to take Joyce to meeting. She's trying to sober her up. She doesn't want to get sober. And I don't know what to do. And Joyce says, don't drink. Go to meeting and pray. Okay. So I'm going to meeting, and I'm at this meeting. At a meeting. And he had 5 years, which, you know, is like probably close to being the president. I don't know him, but I know the people he's talking to. Okay. Now I'm living with Joyce. I'm renting a room. Don't have a lot of money. I got 9 months, so I got some answers. And this man's talking about he spent $50 on a dog. Shampooed the dog. Cut his toenails, put a ribbon around his neck. $50. I'm going to go blind that in my eyes at this man. Because if he's got $50 to spend on a dog, I got the dress bought. Okay? So he asked me if I want to go out to supper with him. Now, back then, not only did he ask me, I'd ask my sponsor if it was okay to go out to dinner. Because back then, he just didn't do those things. And my sponsor said yes. So I called my sponsor and said, look, he asked me out. And she said, you can go to dinner with him if you want to, but there's no dessert, Beverly. Why she would think I would even go there, I don't know. So he comes and picks me up. He opens the door for me, and I get in, and it's July in Norfolk. Okay, it's hot, it's humid. But Joyce said I had to look nice. I got some nylons on it, or sticking to my legs. And I'm sitting in the seat of this big truck, a Suburban, like a bus. And I'm picking. Yeah, because it's sticking to my legs. I'm trying to be nice, but it's sticking. And he looks at me and says, what's wrong? I said, the nylons are sticking to my legs. And he said, well, why don't you wear knee highs? Excuse me? This man knows about knee high nylons? Oh, no, I need to move closer to the door.
You know.
Men don't know about those things. Not real men. Not the kind of men I'm used to. Tattoos. Chains. They don't know nothing about me, huh? So, we pull in front of the restaurant. He gets out. I think he goes into the restaurant. No. No. Not Mr. Manners. Mr. Manners walks behind the Suburban to open the door for me. But I don't see him. So if he opens it from the outside, I open it from the inside. He wasn't funny. I fell out. In front of the restaurant. And I'm dressed. I'm not drinking. I got nylons on, okay? I'm trying to do good. And people are walking by going, and so, of course, I have to let them know. I'm not drinking. So I'm never going out with him again, okay? Because he is making me look bad in front of these people that I don't know. So we went to dinner, and, you know, what do you do when you meet somebody in AA? You go to dinner, you go to a meeting. So we went to a meeting, he took me home, said I had a nice time, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going out with him again. I don't like him. Maybe he looked bad. About a week later, I call him up. Because he's a big man. And I asked him, you know, did he charge for being a bodyguard? And he said, no. I said, well, I got to go somewhere I've never been before, and so did you want to go with me? And he said, no. And I said, okay. And then he called back. And he said, I'll go with you. And I said, okay. He said, I'll pick you up. Oh, no, you won't. Huh. I'll get myself there. So in the meantime, Joyce is still drinking. I come home from work, and she burns the kitchen up. So I find another place to live. Well, Mr. Manners has a two-bedroom apartment. Can you imagine? You've got to be a sign from God. So, of course, I move in. Because, you know, AA help each other. So I'm living with him. And my sponsor says, how you doing on the steps? Not bad. She said, kind of hard to do the steps when you're not being honest. She said, you are not divorced. How can you do the steps and still be honest? Okay, it's difficult, but it's not impossible. Legs on a little longer, that's all. She said, you need to get divorced. And I said, okay. She said, you need to find another place to live. I said, okay. So I had to find another place to live, and I did. Rent in a room. And I'm praying, and I'm going to meet you. And I'm praying for more money. Because if I had more money, then I could get an apartment by myself. And so they called me in at work, and they said, if you move to Richmond, we'll give you more money. Okay. Richmond, Virginia's not a bad place. It's no place I'd want to live forever, but it's not bad. So I moved to Richmond, and I'm making money. And Mr. Manners is living in Norfolk. And I don't like Richmond. I don't like the way they do their meetings in Richmond. I have a little more than a year now. So I got more answers than I had before. And I don't know anybody. And I'm living in a rooming house. And I have to share a bathroom. And I don't like it. And I go to meetings and I hear people who have 2 years of sobriety and they got it all together. And I don't. I don't even have a bathtub of my own. So I'm not liking it. So Mr. Manners says, you want to get married? Like, let me check my options. Because I have so many. I said, let me think about it. And he said, okay. I said, how long do I have? And he said, 2 hours. I need a cup of coffee. Oh, okay. All right. So I said, sure, we can get married. So we packed my treasures. And we go back to Norfolk, and I take him to California to meet my family. I got my mother, I have 6 brothers and sisters. He's from West Virginia. My family never met anybody from West Virginia, neither had I. He's like kind of country, kind of hillbilly, talks funny, doesn't dress real well, but I could help him with these things because I'm from the city. So I introduce him, and my mother said, he's very nice. And I said, yes, he is. And she said, you going to marry him? And I said, soon. She said, how about Wednesday? Look, sooner than what we thought, but sure, Mom, that'd be great. Because my mom's elderly now. You don't want to upset her. So we get married in my sister's backyard. And my mother's very happy. We're happy. And we're going back to Norfolk on a plane, and I said, what do you think will happen to me when we get to Norfolk and they find out that I'm not divorced? And he looks at me, the love of my life now, says, well, we'll probably do time in the slammer. Oh, good. Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. Because, see, I have 2 of everything now. I have 2 ID cards, 1 retired military, 1 active duty, 2 different names, a couple driver's licenses, a couple social security cards. Folk will run riot. Again, I want what I want when I want it. So I call my sponsor when I get home, and she said, did you have a nice time? Yeah. She said, did you do anything exciting? Not really. She said, did you do anything stupid? Could you define stupid? She said, tell me again how this was not your fault. Oh, so I had to take care of it, and I had to get divorced again. And then I got homesick, so we moved from Norfolk to California. Now, I had visions. Okay, I got a little sobriety under my belt, going to meetings. I got visions of what California is going to be like. Mr. Manners is going to get a job. Good job. Lots of money. Because you know there's lots of money in California. I heard that in Virginia. And I'm going to run and play with my family. Because I'm sober now. Make a little amends as you go. You know, have a good time. That was my vision. Now what happened? Mr. Manners couldn't find a job. The fact that he worked at a shipyard in Norfolk, and we moved to Sacramento, where there's not a lot of ocean front there. I never said I thought things through, okay? So it was real difficult out in my California, because I had to start all over. I had to find a sponsor, and I didn't like any of the women. And I had to find a home group, and they didn't like any of the meetings. And it was real hard, and I didn't know if I could make it. And every day I asked God for a day of sobriety, and every night I thanked him for a day of sobriety, and I said, I need some help, because I don't like it here. And I met this woman, and she said, maybe you need to help somebody else. Okay, I'll try. So went to some meetings, met a newcomer. The newcomer said, can you help me with the steps? And I said, sure. And it got real difficult for the newcomer. And she committed suicide. And I took real responsibility for that. Maybe I didn't try hard enough. Maybe I didn't say the right thing. Maybe I didn't take her to the right meeting. And I didn't like California a whole lot after that one. But I had nowhere to go. So I go to more meetings. And I don't drink. And I ask God in the morning for a day of sobriety. I thank him for a day of sobriety at night. And Mr. Manners gets a job. Okay. And then we'll go to my house. Because, you know, that's what you do in AA, clean up. So we're going to buy a house, and then we get a phone call from Norfolk. And my stepdaughter who drank and used drugs. Couldn't take it anymore. Now she was 17 years old. And she blew her brain out. And I didn't like California at all after that. But you know what I didn't think? And I went to meeting. And I asked God for a day of sobriety in the morning, and I thanked him for a day of sobriety at night. And it was real hard. It was real hard. And 4 months later, my brother died of cancer. And I didn't like it. And then 3 months later, my mom died. And I didn't like it. So I don't drink. And I go to meeting. And I ask God for a day of sobriety. And I thank him for a day of sobriety at night. I don't thank him for what happened during the day. I am not one of the people that came to Alcoholics Anonymous, got touched by an angel, and everything's been wonderful. Those people like that. I've heard them. I try to sit next to them. Truly, I do, because I think maybe I'm going to get some of that. And then, so we bought a house, okay? And we're living the dream, okay? Things are good. He ain't drinking, and I'm not drinking. Got a little service work going on. Going to some meetings. And then he loses his job. Okay. Can't afford the house because he lost his job. So we put the house on the market. Don't know where we're going, but we put the house on the market. I get called in to work and they said, there's a job for you if you want it in St. Louis, Missouri. Okay, I've never been to St. Louis. I didn't have any plans on going there, but a job in St. Louis is better than no job. So I said, okay, I'll go to St. Louis. Not all my decisions in sobriety have been good. So I go to St. Louis, leave Mr. Manners in California to sell the house. Oh, and I don't like St. Louis. I don't like the way they talk. I don't like their meetings. I don't like nothing about St. Louis. So I call him and say, I changed my mind. I don't like St. Louis. I'm coming home. And he said, you can't. I sold the house. He said, what are the meetings like? Well, I've been to 3, and I didn't like them. He said, you've been there for 6 weeks. I've been to 3, I didn't like them. He said, you might want to try 4. Oh, okay. And so I had to start over. I had to find a home group. I had to find a sponsor. And I have to go to meetings. If I don't go to meetings, I'll pick up a drink. If I pick up a drink, anything could happen. I remember my last drunk. I don't want to go there. I don't like being tied up. I don't like the little rooms that have the little windows in them. I don't like being naked. So he sold the house. I'm in this little town outside of St. Louis, and he sends me a power of attorney slip. So I go to the bank. And the lady says, oh, honey, you don't want to do this. So why? She said, if you sign his power of attorney and send it to him, he could sell the house and you'd never see him again. Oh, he wouldn't. Would he? Okay, he's an alkie. I don't know. So I call him on the phone and say, if you sell the house and you don't come to Missouri with this money, I will hunt you down. He said, I haven't found a sponsor yet, have you? Oh, okay. When you're married to somebody, you can talk the talk and you know exactly what they're saying. So he comes to St. Louis and with the money, thank you, God. And we buy a house, okay? And I'm going to meet him. I got a little service work going on the side. I got a sponsor. And then he has a heart attack. Okay. So he's in the hospital. I'm alone in St. Louis. I got family in California. I don't know. He's in intensive care. Doctor said he could die. Okay, this is some serious stuff here. So I'm praying on the way home. God, help me accept your will. whatever that is. Because I got some sobriety under my belt. I can do this. I got some answers. So I pull in the driveway and open up the door and I go in the house. And the first thing I see is his shoes. Okay, well, I did. I prayed and waited for an answer and I didn't get one. And I thought he was going to die. So I threw all his shoes away. Because he's going to die, ain't no sense in having shoes. Or the clothes either. Just toss them off. Because I'm accepting God's will. Okay, and so you know he got better. So I'm going to work. I'm going to see him in the hospital. He gets better. He calls in the morning and he says, they're going to let me out today. And I said, oh my goodness. That Southern talk for another word that only has four letters, but it means the same as oh my goodness. And he said, can you pick me up? Yeah, yeah. It'll be late though. It'll be late. He said, bring me some clothes and some shoes. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Yeah, I'll get them right away for you. So I stop at the store, get him some slippers, and I go to the hospital, and I put the slippers on, and he comes home, and he's better. And I go to work, and he stays home. And he says, I'd like to go for a walk today. He said, but I don't have any shoes. No, 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 no. No, you're convalescing. Got to have the slippers to convalesce. And he waits about a week, and he said, okay. He said, now we're going to sit down and have a little talk. He said, I don't have any shoes, Beverly. And there's not much left in the closet. He said, would you care to tell me what happened? I said, look, I prayed to God's will, and I thought I had it, and I thought you were going to die, so I threw them all out. He said, honey, I'm from West Virginia, and even when we do die with shoes on. Okay. Okay, so we're in Missouri. We're going to meeting. Got a little service work going on. And we both lose our jobs. I don't know what to do. I don't even want to stay in Missouri. I don't know what else to do. So I get a part-time job at a Coca-Cola plant, working on the dock. He gets a job mowing lawn. And we get a call from some people that we knew, said they had a job in Nevada. Would I like to come to Reno? Okay, never been to Reno, give it a shot. Came here, oh no, no, no. I don't like none of you. I don't like the meat. I don't like the people. Free liquor. Where was this when I was drinking? I didn't know it was free. I'd have been here a long time ago had I known that. I'm going to meeting. I don't like it. Because I start all over again. I find a sponsor. I don't like none of the women. Not real fond of the men to begin with. I have to find a home group. Have to do service work for me. Some type of little service work on the side. Got to do something. You see, I'm not drinking. And I'm fine. Gets a little bit better. Okay? Been here about a year and a half. And then they close the store. And I don't have a job. But they said they have a job for me in Florida. Now, I've never been to Florida. Never lost nothing in Florida. Didn't figure I'd go there to find it. But a job in Florida is better than no job in Nevada. Okay? We have a car, one. I've never been across country with Mr. Manners in the same car. We've always had separate cars. Because God knows what's good for us. And I'm talking to a lady and I said, I've never traveled across country with Mr. Manners in the car. And she said, it's okay, Beverly. She said, you don't have to talk to him the whole time. She said, then you won't have to talk to him when you get there because he's the only person you know. That made sense to me. So me and Mr. Manners and the cat get in the car and go to Florida. Oh, no, no, no. Florida was not fun at all. I didn't like Florida. I didn't like the people. I didn't like the meetings. I didn't like where I worked. I didn't like the traffic. I didn't like the fact that people do not stop on red in Florida. It doesn't mean stop for them. It just means can you get through before the other cars come. I started to pray, please God, don't let me die in Florida. And God answered my prayers and I lost my job. Lila said this morning, anything that's prayed for in Alcoholics Anonymous, you get. She's right. So I don't have a job. They eliminated my position, which is fancy for firing. And Mr. Manners didn't have a job. And we're stuck in Florida. Ain't got no job. No money, nothing. And I get a call, and they said that there's an opening in Nevada. Perhaps I should apply for it. No, nobody will hire me now. And the lady said, feeling sorry for yourself? Yes, I am. She said, how long do you think you're going to be that way? Forever. You'll never change. This stuff is not supposed to happen to me. This is supposed to happen to newcomers. Okay? Newcomers don't know any better. Newcomers don't know that they don't know any better. Newcomers run to their sponsors. Snivelling. With the Kleenex. And the sponsors pat them on the back, say, it'll be okay, don't drink. That's not supposed to happen to somebody who's supposed to have some dry time under the belt. And the lady said, if you don't apply for the job, you won't know if you get it. Well, okay. So I borrowed money from lots of people. Do you have $10? Yeah, send it. And I got a one-way plane ticket from Florida to San Francisco. And the lady picked me up in San Francisco and drove me all the way to Reno. Well, she drove me to Boomtown. And then another lady picked me up in the parking lot of Boomtown at 11:30 at night so I could be here for an interview at 9 o'clock the next morning. But it worked. And I did the interview. And about 2 weeks later, they said, Beverly, you have the job. I was like, cool. Now, in between that time, I didn't know what I was going to do. Because it's real hard to find an apartment where you don't have a job. You go and look and people say, well, how do you pay for the rent? I don't know, but I might have a job. They say, could you come back when you get the job? Well, then it'll be too late. Stressful. And I called Mr. Manners and said, I got the job. I said, you need to find a way to come out here with the cat. Don't forget my cat. And if you can't make it, you put the cat on the plane. You get priorities as you get older. Very sad. So I got this job, and was working at central office. And the first day of the job was my AA birthday. And I had 21 years when they hired me. I thought that was pretty cool. So I start over. Find a sponsor. Find a home group. Get a little service going on the side. I don't drink. And I think everything's cool. I am not one of the people that say I am the same now as I was when I first came in. Bless her heart, I bet they're miserable. If I'm the same now as I was when I first came in, I'm going to be miserable. So I'm going to meeting, I'm playing, and I'm not drinking. And 2 weeks ago, I had a heart attack. Now, not me, okay? I'm not looking. A little discomfort. I have to change my lifestyle. Lots of things I have to change. I don't want to. some people called, gave me a little lesson, a little geography lesson. They were talking about Egypt and rivers. I'm not sure what it was about. I don't like it. But it's not the first thing since I've been sober that happened to me that I didn't like. My first sponsor said, I don't have to like everything that happens to me. But I better accept it. If I accept it, I don't fight it. I don't fight it, I don't look for an excuse. If I don't look for an excuse, chances are I won't pick up the drink. So I do the same things now as I did when I first got sober. I don't drink. My life is real simple. I ask God every morning for a day of sobriety. I thank Him at night for a day of sobriety. I don't hang with people who drink. They might not lose their sobriety, I might lose mine. I am too old to even think that I can entertain the troops anymore, okay? I'm way beyond that. I hang with people who enjoy their sobriety. If I didn't enjoy my sobriety, I wouldn't do anything to keep it. So I hang with people who enjoy their sobriety. And I remember that God does for me what I can't do for myself. All I have to do is ask. Thank you.